Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio. Radio.
Man Alive, I tell you what, that was some really nice music because anyone about this time of year, no matter where you are, you're going to at least feel like you're at the beach already because you are or you wish you were. Well, I tell you, in your mind, you're always at the beach. And the artist that wrote that particular tune, so I should say singer, songwriter, especially songwriter, was this cat by the name of Chris Ream from down Paradise Way. I'm talking about Key West, Florida. And Key West Chris is, oh, I forgot, he's the guest this evening. How's it going, Chris? How are you doing?
I'm going to be honest, and we'll have fun with this. I'm disappointed because what people out there in Radio Land don't know is that Frankendren is a executive chef, and everything hit the fan today, and it looked like he was going to do the show from the top-notch kitchen that he runs, but it didn't come about, and I was expecting we'd have him in the galley tonight with all these pots and pans banging back and forth and people screaming for orders and all kinds of stuff.
He is disappointed. I can hear it in his voice when I said, hey, I'm here. I'm home.
Yeah, it was like, oh. What about the kitchen? Huh? What happened there?
We'll have to do a galley episode when the Conk Rock Show hits the airwaves.
We'll do it then. Yeah. Actually, that's probably not the time to do it. Nevertheless, it's good to be on the show. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, no problem. I feel like it's just the year-end show just wouldn't be the same without Chris Ream, just the things that we have to talk about. I mean, it's amazing sometimes how we catch each other at 8 in the morning, 9 in the morning, whenever, even 1:30 in the morning when you butt text me. So
I'm not sure if it was a butt or a drunk text.
Yeah, I know one thing. Right now, after the type of day that occurred, it's always good to decompress, and it is decompression time. And I'm having a nice Foster's oil can. What about yourself? Are you having a beautiful beverage?
I am. As a matter of fact, as you know, but the audience may not, I brew my own beer here in Key West. And I used to brew beer when I was younger, and then I gave up because it was too much of a pain in the neck with all the bottles. But now I can do it. I can brew draft, and draft is so much easier. I have a little kegerator here, and I have my current brew, which is a type of German beer called a Kölsch, which is a beer that comes from Cologne, and it only comes from that area. They don't brew it elsewhere in Germany. They just brew it there. It's a German ale, and I brew one of those. I put just a touch of key lime in it, so it has the Key West flavor in it. It turned out really well. That's what I'm having tonight.
And you can't FedEx me some of it? No.
No, is it a keg?
Oh, wow.
I'd have to send you the whole keg.
Well, that's
and
okay.
I'm not
maybe
giving up my keg.
That's quite all right. Maybe it means that I need to just be there and sit.
That's how it works. Yeah, and the next beer I have coming up is even going to be more of the season. It's going to be in English. I'm about to put it into the second fermenter. And that'll be ready in 2 weeks, and that's going to be an English pale ale.
Oh, boy. See, that's now you're just teasing people.
Yeah, and then after that, the one I'm about to start, I'll probably brew it tomorrow or the next day, and then it goes into the aging process, but that one will be a nut brown ale from the north of England.
I hope it's around January the 20th, a birthday. No, just kidding. But
The only thing that's going to prevent me from doing that is if I don't finish the pale ale before then, which has happened before. We brew it in 5-gallon batches, so.
With that being the case for this evening, so now you know what Chris is having, and I'm having a Foster's oil can. It is indeed decompression time, no more galley
right.
time. It's music time because every time that I play the beach, I can't help but realize that persons who've never actually been to the beach or to the islands or any place, they conjure up this really carefree walk along the way, and they see the sun out and all those wonderful things. And I think you totally captured the essence of the beach, and I think that people want to go take that trip to the beach with you. Great. I really enjoyed your song craftsmanship on that.
Thank you. Yeah, the idea that, you know, I wanted to have something that was fun. And it was funny because I came up with the progression. That's usually how I write songs. I don't sit down, write lyrics, then put music to it. It's impossible for me. What I do is I'll sit down, and I won't be intending, well, 7 or 8 times out of 10, I'm not intending to write a song. I'll just start playing the guitar, and I'll hit a wrong note or something, and I'll say, oh, that sounds pretty cool. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, I get a progression going, and that's what happened here. And I had this progression that sounded really cool, you know, the basic progression that's in the middle of the song. And, you know, it's just going bump, bump, ba-da-ba-ba, bump, bump, bump. And it's going through that. And I was messing around with it for maybe about 2 or 3 weeks. And then all of a sudden, the lyrics just came to me. And then, it was like we were at the races, and I wrote all the lyrics down and had it written within an hour, I guess. And, it was funny because I wasn't really analyzing it. I was just playing it. And when the producer, Dan Simpson, heard it, he said, oh, he goes, well, what you have there is you have an Afro-Cuban rhythm going. I said, yeah, well, I guess that's what it is. Yeah, you know, I kind of subconsciously knew that. I wasn't consciously doing it, but I had that, you know, I had that feeling to it. And
right.
He came out and said it. But then what he said was, he goes, you know what, you really did. And I said, well, what's that? And he goes, the bridge on it is complete, like, textbook Motown. And so we were able, we managed to write a song that was half Afro-Cuban and half Motown.
Great job of catching that, too.
So it was two different genres at the same time. It was fun, yeah.
Well, that's only part of the great, and I say great CD that you put out in the year 2011. And I'm going to play a lot of those tunes because it's Shipwrecked in Shanghai and Key West. That's partially the name of the CD, and we're going to play a lot of cuts from it and talk a little bit about that and how people really should learn in 2012 just to decompress a little bit. You know why? Because if I can do it, everyone else can. Because Chris actually knows me as this insanely workaholic type guy who deadlines, strict this, strict that, and or otherwise, but, you know, I don't have dreadlocks I don't have them just for the heck of it. Sometimes in life you have to do what you have to do, but after a while when you catch up to things that you need to do, it's time to sit back and do what you want to do. And I'm wanting to spend this next 50-plus minutes taking everyone a little bit through some things that were very special for Chris, or not so special, or any event that comes out in our minds before this oil can and his homebrew begins to hit too consciously.
Yeah, I'm on my first one, so I'm okay. It's not like I've been drinking all day.
That's a great start.
Talk about your dreadlocks. Frank Zappa one time said, when somebody asked him about his long hair, he said, what it is brain hens. That's kind of appropriate for you because your mind is always working.
Yeah, that's kind of how it used to be, my friend. And finally, there's a shutoff valve.
Oh, like, no, I don't think your brain's going to shut off. I think what you're going to do is just you're going to have a couple of gears to choose from. You know, you're not always going to be flat out in fifth gear. You know, now
right.
You're going to downshift to fourth or third or something like that. That's all.
That's such a great, a really great observation. And let me tell everyone, compliments don't go very easily for me, so I'll tell you that I'll chew on that one because that's exactly how I see it as well. But I want to tell everyone the first thing that I ever heard by Chris Ream. It was at the time that we had the Flockers Gone Wild thing going that I became I kind of took over the Flockers Gone Wild. Reverend Greco from Key West decided that it was time to go into other projects, and then I came in and took over for a good while before I sunk the .com of it. But you know what? The thing that really caught my attention, I've been reading your blogs and reading about you for years, for a while, and I heard the tune Raise My Glass to the Upper 48, and that was tune that said, wow, I like this. And I think all of your songs, I haven't heard a bad song. Even when you sent me some of the material when you were in a blues band playing down the biker bars and things, you sent me some of that material. That's, yeah, very good stuff. Very good stuff.
It's
and so,
different. You know, that's one of the things I try to strive for is, and, you know, on the album that we have, Shanghai and Marin to Key West, Things Could Be Worse, every song is a different genre. And the thing is that I really get annoyed if I start playing something and then I realize it's I'm coming up with this great idea and then I realize it's something else that I wrote or something too similar to it. So I always like to make things different. And the, you know, the blues stuff, those four songs I sent you again, you know, same thing. And everything's a little bit different, you know, different twists to everything. That's what
variety,
makes me roll.
Is this not one of the most overused cliches? Variety is the spice of life, yet it's so aptly true. Yeah, it's something wonderful that people should realize it's not there for just any reason. It's true.
Yeah.
But why don't we raise our glasses right now, our cans. Everyone, all the listeners and friends of Chris Ream who are listening in on our program this evening, why don't you raise your glass to the upper 48, and I will play Raise My Glass to the Upper 48 by an exceptional songwriter by the name of Chris, and that's Key West Chris, which will tell you where to go and find him on Line and Everything a little bit later. But everyone, raise your glasses to the upper 48. You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio with Captain Frank and Dredd and also Chris Ream.
and works its way down. Hopping and stomping on the island, town to town. Above us is madness, cars are honking, it's doggy dog. Here I'm chillaxing, always relaxing.
Just another day in Paris.
Just another day.
You know, friends and family, they call me. Why not visit back home? And although I love them dear, I just never want to live here. The roots have grown to this old rock, lock me firm and strong. Locker's gone wild at blue heaven, where we all belong. I don't want to go nowhere. That way I'll never be late. Island time is this life of mine. And I'll raise my glass to the upper. Oh, yeah. Yes, I'll raise my glass to the upper. My glass to the upper 40.
Yes, indeed. That was a nice one. The very first tune that I ever heard by Chris Ream, and we're talking Key West Chris, which reminds me, if you guys were to put into the internet as a search Key West Chris, it would take you to a couple places to find Chris Ream. We also know him as Key West Chris because he makes everyone understand exactly why he's on the island of Key West, because although I haven't been down there frequently since the 90s, the whole point of the matter is Key West is a country within itself for a whole lot of reasons, notwithstanding that once you get there, you certainly don't want to go back to what you would think is foreign land after being there.
That's exactly true. Yeah, you're absolutely right. No, I would never... I'm behind that 100%.
And the thing is, too, if people are Facebook friends with Key West Chris, they would know that on any given morning you'll find picturesque documentation of the wonderful and beautiful Key West, Florida, which Chris is still waiting with bated breath and twiddling his thumbs waiting for my arrival. I know. I know.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's true. But I'll tell you why I do that. I do it for a couple of reasons, especially this time of year. In the summertime, it's not so prominent for one of the reasons, but I'll put it up there just so that folks like, you know, in the, up north where it's freezing cold, they have a picture where they can look at and say, you know, oh, that's where I want to be, and it makes them feel warm. You know, it's like some people will say, oh, you're giving us a hard time. No, I'm not giving you a hard time. I'm trying to make you, like, get away from where you are. Just even if it's for 1 second, it's worth it. And the other thing is also that if people constantly see pictures of Key West and they've never been here, they're going to want to come. And that's what the economy down here. And I don't actually really live off of the tourism business. I do indirectly, but that's what keeps this town going. So I'm doing my part to bring people here. And I'll tell you, I've never met anyone who's come to Key West. Well, I shouldn't say that. I've met very, 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 very few people who've come here and didn't want to come back. It's usually like people leave here and they just think about coming back the second they leave, and that's all they think about until they get back. And that's how I was, and a whole bunch of other people. But it's not for everybody, you know. It's not really a family town. It's not like you're going to bring the kids and spend 2 weeks here. You know, if you bring the kids, you're going to be good for about 3 or 4 days. But that's why I do that.
Yeah, the thing is, too, you talk about it being an island. In fact, you have a song you wrote called My Little Island Town, which will probably be the next song that we play. It is a great island town. It is an island within itself. As I mentioned, you're only 90 miles away from Cuba, and if that means nothing to you, well, it means if shit hits the fan, all you have to do is get a good rowboat or a good captain to get you across and make sure you know Spanish before you get there.
Yeah, yo hablo un poquito español. Mi ex esposo es uno con de Cienfuegos. I just said I know a little bit of Spanish. My ex-wife was Cuban. She's from Cienfuegos, which is the second largest city in Cuba. But I the problem is I have a very good Cuban addiction in my vocal my vocabulary, and when I speak Spanish to a Cuban, they think I'm Cuban, and they come back at 100 miles an hour because they think I'm a Cuban, and it's like, well, wait a minute, slow down.
Sounds like what Italy is for me.
Okay, yes.
The languages are close, but at the same time, yeah, Cuba's only 90 miles away, and those who do the guard, that's another reason to get there a little quick. Well, they say we can't spend money there, but I guess that means they give us all our stuff for free, right?
Speaking of Cuba, just the last song you played, Raise My Glass to the Upper 48, that's the only song on that album, Shanghai and Maroon to Key West, Things Could Be Worse, that I co-wrote. And I really didn't co-write it. But my friend, who is Cuban, George Cornejo, lives in Miami, and he came down to visit me a few years back. And as he's a fabulous guy. He's just, everything with him is positive, and it's just, like, wonderful to be around him. Anyway, he's getting on his he had a BMW motorcycle, and he's getting on his motorcycle to go back up home, and he goes, man, this is great, man. You know, you're down here in Key West, and the rest of us are up there in the upper 48. And that's what inspired me. I'd never heard the term before. And because he said that, I gave him co-writing on the song, because if he never said it, the song never would have been written. I thought that was fair.
I think so, too. And, well, there, didn't you used to have a picture of a bridge and, like, a little flock was going wild surrounding that song? I don't quite remember, but.
Well, I had, like, yeah, because I had, yeah, what I had is when I did the demo of that song, which was on the Flockers Gone Wild site, not the one we just heard, but the demo for it, I have Picasa on my computer, and I did a web collage, because you can do that with Picasa. You can do a web collage with the soundtrack. So I put, what I was doing is wherever there was a scene, whatever scene in that, because that song, if you listen to the lyrics, it's all about Key West and different things that are all around. So what I was doing is I'd taken pictures that I had from everywhere, and whenever, you know, there's one part that says, I pass Waterfront Market, it's early morning, I'd have, you know, a picture of the Waterfront Market, and then it would kind of fade away, and we'd go into the next scene. So, yeah, that, there was a bridge in there, and that's where it was, yeah, probably, yeah.
Was that 7 Mile Bridge?
No, it was the bridge that goes over Garrison Bight.
Oh, that's right, I remember now.
Yeah, it was because everything in that video, because the whole song is just about Key West, it's not about the Keys, because everything in that song is about Key West, everything in the video was Key West.
So tell me, Chris, in 2011, as it's quickly passing by us, what would you say was your highest moment of the year?
Oh, probably the release and the production of my album. It was a little bit, it had the frustration, you know, like anything else, you know, you have frustrating points in it, and the frustrating points were just coordinating everybody, coordinating with Dan at the studio so we could do something, and coordinating with the other fellow musicians. I was always available. Whatever we did, it's like that. But, you know, Dan has his schedule. He's got a bunch of things going, and all the musicians, of course, have things going. So getting things coordinated took a long time. You know, something that actually if we actually took the whole album and condensed it down, it was probably 2 months worth of work, but it went from October to the release date of June 1st to get everything done. And that was the frustrating part, but on the same token, the rewarding part was how it came out. Everyone was just phenomenal on it. Dan did an unbelievable job producing it and mixing it and all that. So that was the high point of my year, was getting that out. And like I said, the release date was June 1st, and I was on cloud 9. I still am. And as a matter of fact, the first album we ever have out,
as Key West Chris. I learned yesterday, or I learned today, the actual number on the number on the biggest trop rock station around, which is Beachfront Radio. They have their, you know, everybody writes in. They vote on the whole year, and we ended up number 14th, which I think is pretty respectable for the first year out.
I think so too, and just going forward, I think that that particular CD that you put out is a quintessential example of conk rock. Would you go so far as to say that? And that you know what conk rock is all about, because it's, and we could debate this, we have often before, I let people know that you're the ambassador, or I won't say the originator, but you are the person.
No, not the originator.
Yeah, and that was the thing. I wanted to see if people don't know of the term conk rock. I think we need to clear that up for them this evening, and I'll let you take your turn on that. Tell them what everyone with conk rock is all about.
Okay, well, bear in mind that the Keys, the native people who live here, who were born here originally over the last, you know, since the early 1800s. Most of them migrated over from the Bahamas or Cuba, and those people are known as conks. And when the Keys seceded from the United States in 1982, they declared themselves the Conk Republic. So, and there's a very unique type of music that comes out of here, and it's no particular style. I mean, it can be anything, but it just has a certain feel, a certain groove to it that, again, you know, one might be a slow ballad, the other might be a driving rock song, the other might be jazz, the other might be Brazilian, but there's a certain element of creativity that this area, from Key Largo to the Dry Tortugas, encompasses. There's energy that comes out of here, and that's what makes the type of music that we have, and I call it conk rock. And in my case, a lot of my music, and everybody's music who plays here, has additional origins. You know, like I said, you know, that other song we did earlier, the first one we opened up with, was Afro-Cuban with a Motown bridge to it. The one we just heard, Raise My Glass to the Upper 48, is like, it's a samba. This is what it is. But the music that we have here, I gave a label to it, and I call it conk rock. And that's what it is, you know, and there's a lot of other artists who are doing all kinds of different things. But it's all falls under the category of conk rock. A lot of it's similar to trop rock, but a lot of it isn't. You know, on my album, for instance, 80% of it is can wear either hat. 20% of it can't. I mean, funk is not trop rock. The song Mile Zero, for instance, that's a driving rock song. That's not trop rock either. But they're very related, and they have very, very similar and common roots.
In fact, why don't we just play Mile Zero for a second while we collect our thoughts,
cool,
have a few sips, and come right back. And
I can fill my glass with more beer.
Absolutely, absolutely. Everyone, here's Mile Zero by Key West Chris right here on Ship to Shore Radio. Thanks for listening.
Everybody knows it's Mile Zero.
Mile Zero.
Yes, indeed. That was Cajun's Got a Coconut, another great song by Key West Chris out of Key West, Florida, the very special co-host this evening. And the thing is, it's kind of funny. You sound like a natural just being able to call in and do your thing. It's as if you've been doing this for a while, but I know the best things in life are things that just come when they do. And this was
You're a very easy person to talk to. And, you know, we talk a lot on the phone. So it's easy to do. It's just very relaxed and very casual. So it's not like you have any expectations or you have to feel like you have to perform or anything. You just get on the phone and shoot the breeze.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I appreciate that view on things. And I guess the thing that will really be great one day is a solid conversation. And I was thinking about this. You know, I ended up buying this Christmas present for myself. I bought a bass guitar, and I was thinking, wouldn't it be cool if using technology, not for it dominating our lives, but if we figured out a way that we could do something with steel pan or bass and you on acoustic guitar one night on one of the shows that we do where people could hear us actually playing in two different locations. That would be really fun.
That'd be phenomenal. I'd love that.
Got to figure it out, but we will. We'll figure that out. The thing
right.
is,
I leave that up to you. You're the technoid. You're the one with the, you're the one with all the brain ends coming out of your head. I don't have those.
Oh, boy. And never mind. But the thing,
I threw you in front of the bus on that one.
Yeah, that's okay. Actually, you didn't notice I was driving the bus. I just didn't want anyone to see me.
You know, I appreciate you playing those two songs because they were when you spend so much time recording something, and when you're doing that, you're hearing all the different inputs here and there, and then, of course, you're doing the mix down and everything, and you're hearing it all the time. You get away from it in a bit. So those two songs I haven't listened to in probably a couple of months, and it's like here and there I'll listen to the album, but those songs I hadn't heard in a couple of months, and those are the two songs that are not the trop rock genre. You know, the last one's funk and the other one's driving rock. And the people that play on it were, I mean, on the whole album were just phenomenal. I mean, we had Richard Crooks on drums. I lent Richard Crooks out to several other musicians before I ever knew him. I lent Richard Crooks to Bob Dylan. I lent him to Paul Simon. I lent him to Odetta. I lent him to David Bromberg. I mean, he was a studio musician in New York for 40 years, and he played with everybody. I mean, when he told me that he played on Blood on the Tracks, I nearly crapped in my pants because that's my favorite Dylan album of all time. But all the people, and we had Bobby D on those tracks, who's a dear friend of mine. We're the best of friends. We always have a great time, and he just kick butt on both of those songs. We had Deb Hudson doing the backup vocals on both of those, and she and I had the most fun I think I've ever had in the studio, and not on those songs, but on another one. And then we had Marty Stoneley blowing the sax, man. Oh, geez. Paulie Walterson, Jose Rodriguez Jr., they're all on everyone on those two tracks. Bubba Low Notes.
Hello,
everyone
Nux.
On those two tracks are the same, I believe. And then, of course, the keyboards, it was just, I just get such a kick out of hearing it. Thanks so much.
Oh, not a problem at all. And the thing was, I saw some of the documentation as the musicians, thanks to Reverend Weko, were saying a lot of video and a lot of photos that you were posting, and I remember Bubba Low Notes, the expectation of him arriving for dropping some tracks and things down, and those things stuck out in my head. And it must have been wonderful putting such a wonderful cast of musicians together and them making your expressions come to life. And I'm going to ask you something. Is it true that music is what feelings sound like, in your estimation?
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons. That's an interesting outlook on it. That's one of the reasons why I'm always looking for a different sound. I don't want to sound like anybody else. It's an individual thing, and it's a feeling. You know, It's like if somebody ever tells you, oh, you look just like somebody, the first thing you do is you kind of say, really, you think so? And they'll say, oh, yes, you do, and you're kind of like put off by it. So you want to have your own sound, and it's the same thing with music, with your own look. And it's the same thing with music. You want to have your own sound. You want to sound unique. You don't want to sound like anybody else. And that is your feeling. And that is your feeling. And with me, like I say, I like everything to be different all the time. And that's why on that song, on that album, we have, you know, 10 songs in 11 different genres because they're all different. And that's the way I like it. If they all sounded the same, I would have shot myself in the head.
Yeah, I'm glad that you didn't make them all the same then.
And, you know, the other thing that I'm really excited about is, if I can touch on this, we can't play it because I know you have the demo, but or the primary recording, you can't play that. But the next album, we've already started because my friend Misty Loggins was in town a couple of weeks ago, and she texted me like a couple of weeks before that. She said, hey, now Misty is a up-and-coming Nashville superstar. She's a marvelous girl, honest as the day is long, happens to be really gorgeous, too. Not that I'm running after her or anything, but, you know, she's too young for me, but I think she's 25. But she's just a phenomenal performer. She's also an actress out there in Nashville and stuff. But we're friends because we're both songwriters. We've both played in the Songwriters Fest, and she's been in it for, I guess, about 5 years now. And she writes these great songs, all this great country stuff. So she texts me and she says, hey, I'm going to be in Key West, you know. So I text her back. I say, well, let's do a song. And she writes back. She goes, oh, yeah. I said, okay, cool. And then after I'm done, I say, wait a minute. I don't have a song for her. So I had to write one on the fly. And but sometimes that's the best situation, you know. You, all of a sudden the pressure's on you. Hey, you know, she's going to be here. She needs a song, and you got to know how to play it. You know, it's one thing to write a song. It's another thing to learn how to play it and learn how to sing it. Now, she has to sing it, so it's not that's not on my shoulders. But that's what happened with this situation. And, you know, she came down. I had the song written. We did a quick demo of it. I did a quick demo of it, so she had something on it. Then we put down the Richard Crux, again, the same guy who plays with everybody who I lent out, you know, before I knew him, to all these other famous people. He and I put down the drum and guitar track, and then she sang over that. And I'm telling you, she tore that thing a new one. I mean, and we haven't even explored all the other tracks. She gave us like 7 tracks. And there's the one I have here at home is just the last one she did. But that's our next project. We've already started the new album, and all I need now is money to do it. I'm out of money.
Yeah, that's a familiar refrain from a lot of those persons. But the thing is, having that first one out, and I think so. Just the fact that Amo Bennett was able to hear it up in New York on top of things, that must have really been exciting for you. You want to tell everybody about that, because that was exciting.
Yeah, I was down here in Key West, and all of a sudden I got a text from Amo Bennett, who Amo's based in the Chicago area, I believe, or Ohio. He's up there somewhere, way up there. And I get a text from him, and he's in McSorley's Ale House in New York, which I know. And he goes, you're not going to believe this. I just heard Raise My Glass to the Upper 48 in McSorley's Ale House. And I'm thinking, wow, that's cool. I like that. That made my evening. That made my week.
Yeah, and I was really happy to hear that too, because if anything, people should hear your wonderful music wherever they hear it. And for the New Yorkers, well, we won't even get into that whole thing. I mean, they have a place called Long Island, but as far as islands are concerned, it doesn't compare to Key West one iota.
I don't know Long Island all that well, ironically enough, although I was raised in New Jersey, in northern New Jersey, in a little town called Hohokus. I was raised there, but I came here, you know, just after I turned 20, or into the Key, and not to Key West, but to South Florida. And then I've been in Key West. I'll be here 4 years in a few months. And but I, you know, it's one of these things where, you know, you wish you came here and I had opportunities to move here. I wished I came here, you know, 25 years ago, which I had the opportunity to, but I didn't because I was chicken. You know, do I have a job? That type of thing, you know. And but at least I'm here now. I can't change the past, so I'm not going to live in the past and I didn't do this. No, you can't do that. You know, you're going to live for the moment. So I'm just so glad I'm here. And yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. This is the place for me, and probably the place for you.
Yeah, that's been debated, and it's very true, and just way too many ways. And so we'll chew on that a little bit. And while we're chewing on that, what we're going to do is play another cut, just because here we like to do that. But before we do that, this program was originally supposed to end at 9 o'clock because of network programming, meaning that there is another show coming after. But here's the thing. When I get to talking with Chris, it's both of us, it just flows so easily that we're going to run over time. In fact, because we're, you know what I mean, we're running on Jamaican time this evening because we don't even have time to go into the feelings that I have about Jamaica after having lived there for a while and performed there and all those things and talk about playing amongst the natives. I mean, it was crazy, Chris, getting on stage with a true blue Jamaican band that looked at me and said, I'm an American reggae artist. No American can play my music, you know. And there, if you don't do the music right, they might give you the ratchet or the razor, which means like the knife. They actually might stab you. So there, playing reggae music and everything in Jamaica and living there for a while, that was always my true island time. But the point of the matter is now, to stay within the United States, the one place that reminds me most of the ability to just be me Key West, you know, myself, wherever, and all of those things, but certain locales tend to make a person become more business-oriented or situations do and all of that. But the thing that I figure out the most in talking to you is you do what you do, and it's best when it's in Key West, and everyone else in the world can hear it emanating from that very location.
You know, you're absolutely right, and that's one of the beauties of being here is that there's so many people that would like to be here, but, you know, because of extenuating circumstances, they can't be, but they always, like I say, you know, you come here, you always want to come back, and a lot of people have told me that they live vicariously through my Facebook site or my website or what have you, you know, and they, because I'm always posting pictures and stuff and keeps the batteries charged.
Yes, exactly right. And the thing is, it's just because people have extenuating circumstances, the islands or a tropical point of view or the sunshine and palm trees and coconuts is something that's in your mind. You just have to open up your heart and let it just flow right in. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so here's the thing. While we're just chilling out for a moment, as they say, we're going to talk about what's going on for us in 2012. There is going to be a new show, everyone. It will be the show, but it's also somewhat of a network going forward, within a network, and that is Conk Rock Radio is coming in 2012, and it will be executive produced by Chris Ream and myself, and you'll have an opportunity to hear examples of conk rock. We'll talk to some artists. We'll talk with each other. As he writes and starts with a second CD, it's based solely around the whole vibe of Key West and things of that sort. And I'm looking forward to it, as I'm sure that you are.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, the thing that's really cool is, you know, I'm of course, a conk rocker. People call me that. But anyone who's been to Key West or to the Keys, because it's all the Keys. It's not just Key West. It's and like I say, it's from the Dry Tortugas all the way up to the Last Chance Saloon in Florida City, all throughout the Keys. And Isla Mirada, my friend Lulu's in Isla Mirada. I'll say hello to Lulu right now. Hey, Lulu. But I played for years in Key Largo, and it's all the same thing. But the thing is, there's so much music, live music, going on in the Keys particularly in Key West, because it's we've got the population. You know, it's we have an annual population of about 25,000, and there's so much live music here, and it's just a plethora of musicians and good music that you'll find here. And there's a lot of creativity. There's Bill Blue is here. Bill Blue's been here since like 1980. The Survivors have been here, although they're kind of semi-retired. The two, Bill Blue and the Survivors, were the, like, stalwarts of the sound of Key West, and they were completely different from one each other. Bill was like a blues band. The other guys were, the Survivors were like a progressive band, which had all kinds of different influences from South America, from North America, from everywhere. But there's all kinds of music that's just bubbling out of here, and it's all conk rock.
Yeah, the Survivors, I heard a lot about them. Didn't they play a show not too long ago?
Yes, they do. What they do now is they do one show a year, and it's a benefit for Womankind. And Womankind is an organization which is obviously for women, and it's a marvelous cause. And they get together every year. Din Allen, who's in that band, he's the bass player. And I got really pissed off when I saw Din the second time I ever saw him, because the first time I saw him, he was playing bass. I'm saying, oh, my God, this guy has to play bass. This guy's the most phenomenal bass player. Oh, geez, he's got to play on my album. And then the next time I saw him, he's playing bossa nova guitar someplace else. And I just said, oh, man, I want to give up. But Din and I have become friends over the time, and he's just a great guy. But he's the local member of that band, of the Survivors. And he and his brother and the drummer's name escapes me, but his brother and the drummer left town. They live up in Virginia now. But their kids, who are, you know, in their early, mid-20s, started their own band called Allians. Their last name is Allen. And so they call themselves Allians, and they were just here. I saw them a couple of days ago over at Schooner Wharf, although they're not based in Key West any longer, but they, you know, they grew up here. This is their hometown. And they're a very, very progressive, very versatile band with all kinds of different influences, just like their parents. And it's really cool to see them play.
And so I hope there's an opportunity for me to see at least some semblance of Survivors before I'm no longer a survivor. That would be absolutely.
Well,
I mean, I don't know any other way to put it.
Yeah, they play Womankind, which is, I think it's beginning of November every year. And they've been holding it at Salute over on Higgs Beach, which is great. It's in a nice location. It's in the old gazebos that they have. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they have these old gazebos that were probably built in the 1920s. They set up on the gazebo, and they have it at this restaurant there, which is owned by a guy named Richard Hatch, who also owns Blue Heaven, two fabulous restaurants, great places to go, completely different from one another, but it's done right. Let's just say that. It's done right.
I hope that's not the Richard Hatch of the Survivor fame who just got out of jail.
No, as far as I know, Richard's never been in jail.
Good. No.
Yeah. Now he's a pretty prominent guy. He started Blue Heaven, I'm going to say, roughly about 20 years ago, and he and his wife opened it up as a muffin shop. I don't know if you've ever been to Blue Heaven, but it's not like any place else on the island. You might go to five or six restaurants, and you know, you walk into a restaurant, you go into Blue Heaven, it's like, whoa, what is this place? It's fabulous. It's outside. It has like this enormous tree, which is a citrus tree, which grows these weird, they're called Spanish lemons or Spanish limes. I forget which one. It's one or the other. But the funny thing is that these limes are like, if you touch your index finger to the tip of your tongue, that's about how big the tip of your thumb, that's about how big they are. As you can see, I did really well with the Briar Brut. That's about how big they are. The pit is 80% of that size. So you just have a very small membrane around it. But that is a canopy over the entire place. They when he built the place, when he expanded and built the place into a restaurant after he had the donut shop for a few years, he went down to Summerlin Key, I believe it was Summerlin or maybe it was Sugarloaf, and there's a place down there called Mangrove Mamas, which is a really cool place. I don't think it was Mangrove Mamas at the time, but Mangrove Mamas is a when they had the railroad coming through here back in the early 1900s, 1912 to 1936, that was one of the railroad stations. And what they had was, you know, back then, of course, the trains didn't have diesel power. They had steam power, and they would have to replenish the water in the trains. And they had a water tower there, and Richard bought the water tower, and he brought it over to Blue Heaven, and he has it set up high, and underneath it, there's a bar.
That sounds like a place that I definitely have to check out while in Key West, you know?
Oh, yeah, and the thing is, I'm very fortunate because I live walking distance. They also allow dogs in the bar or in the place because it's outside. And in my blog, that's my next subject, is dogs that are in bars, because we have a lot of restaurants and bars don't allow dogs, and so people come here with their dogs. It's good for them to know where they can go with the dogs.
Well, and that's a great thing, and I want to cover the love of animals and certainly your two dogs at another time. But right now, can you tell me a little bit how, when you wrote My Little Island Town, how did that thought come up in your head to write that tune?
Oh, that was easy. And what it is, it's the anxiety of being away from here and wanting to come back. And that's exactly what the song, that kind of sums it up just right there. Because I'll talk about all the places I've been, but I'm always wanting to come back here, you know, when I'm away from here. And that's what that song's about.
Well, let's
in
play
a nutshell.
And I appreciate you straightening it out for everyone. And if they're not familiar, let's just play it for them right now. My Little Island Town, a nice one of the crafted songs by Chris Ream, which I can't even say your songs are crafted. There's that other saying that music is the voice of the heart. And what's there and what's in your heart is Key West, and all these songs vastly.
Yeah, because the whole album is about the Keys. The whole album is about the Keys, yeah.
All about the Keys. And that's Chris Ream's, and I do mean Key West Chris, My Little Island Town. Thanks for listening to Ship
Let It Roll
Radio. Yeah, man.
Goodbye, New Jersey. New York, too. Said goodbye to old Cape Cod. We'll see you soon. Turned the wheel around and I pointed it south. In my sights, my little island town. Been through the Carolinas, sung smoky mountain song. Been to Albuquerque, it's a long time gone. Frozen New Hampshire, I'd get lost in L.A. Time to get my ass back on my way. Goodbye, Georgia, Atlanta too. Said goodbye to Miami, I took off and flew. I can see that I'm in for a test. Pack my bags, I'm heading to Key West. Can't you feel that tropical breeze blowing right by your knees? I wanna wear shorts all of the time, and I can on that little isle of mine.
to. Been to Oklahoma and the London Zoo. Been around this world, but I feel so blue when I miss my little island town. Barbecue afternoons and hanging at Fort Sam makes my heart yearn. I can't wait to get back. Drive across that ocean on that old highway. Get myself back on that railroad track. Can't you feel that tropical breeze blowing right by your knees? I want to wear shorts all of the time, and I can on that little isle of mine.
That was My Little Island Town by Key West Chris Ream, and also known in some parts as a Key West weatherman. Don't you think that in some way that you're kind of teasing everyone?
Well, no, because, again, you know, it's when somebody's in the doldrums of winter and they see these pictures that I put up, it recharges their batteries, and also it makes them say, you know, I got to go to Key West, and they do. I've had a bunch of people who, because of the pictures I put up, they said, you know what, we're going to Key West. I have my friend Michelle in England, who I think you know.
Yes.
Michelle Granger. She lives up in Upper Yorkshire, which is, you know, right near the Scottish border. She and her husband were thinking of going to France next year. However, they've decided to come here. And in addition to that, they I think it was her husband's brother and his wife saw the pictures, and they're all coming together. It's going to be like a pack. So yeah, you know, it's like they can't wait to come here. And, you know, Key West is just like a complete bacchanalia cup of a place. I mean, you know, geez. It's
wonderful. Like you always, you know, like you always told me, you said, like, for me, travel is so much a part of Alan Holland and not Captain Frankenjet. I'm tired of traveling so much for business purposes, but before all of this radio stuff and PR all came about again in my life, thing is, I love traveling. You said to me, you don't have to do that because the world comes to you in Key West. And you
that's
said,
exactly right.
I mean, Barracuda said that
that's
one
exactly
time.
Exactly right. Barry Kuda is the one who came up with that. Yeah. He said, you know, he'd traveled the world as a musician, and he still goes to Europe because here around August, things slow down a little bit. August and September are slow months here, so he'll go to Europe there. But he used to travel everywhere, and he came to Key West, and he stated, he said, you know, here it's different because you don't have to travel because, you know, the world comes to you. You know, everything, everyone, it's the audience that's traveling here. Every day you have a different crowd. Wonderful thing.
Yes, and, you know, I have to tell everyone, although there's never enough time to have a good conversation and shed some info, and it's not even so much about info, but just to kind of chill out with the listeners and things, there's no better time than to have time with friends, no matter where it is. And I see it as a blessing that Ship to Shore Radio gives me a nice vehicle to enjoy a nice ride with Chris Ream, like I said, Key West Chris, that you can find, in fact, on Facebook. In fact, if you went to Conk Rock on Facebook, you can find Chris Ream, and you can go, and there's other places, too. You can friend him as Chris Ream on Facebook, and you can go to Reverb Nation and find him as well. He's all over the place, and for my taste, he's not out there enough quite yet, and I'll do what I can to help that out. And so, as our time comes to a close for this particular segment with my soon-to-be right across from me, you know, the thing is, you're making that beer, and man, it's awfully tempting. That would be the best birthday party for me. It's a party with your keg of homebrew.
I will have beer. I just don't know which one I'll have. And one thing I should mention, Alan, if we have the moment to do it, do we have a second?
Hey, you know, this is Island Time, and it's my damn network. We'll take the time, because Trusty First Mate Ken, he's hanging out, and it's no vibe. We've got it under control. So say what you want.
Cool. One of the things that we're doing with my website, and one of the things that upset me over the years, you know, because I grew up with albums. You know, 12-inch vinyl albums, and they all always had these great pieces of artwork on them and stuff like that. And when we went to CDs, well, they still had artwork in them, but it was, like, folded up, and it was, you know, one-third the size, and you had to take it out of the thing, you had to read all the stuff. Well, and then it's been exacerbated today because you have, you know, downloads, and all the information is no longer available. All you get is music, and the music is wonderful, don't get me wrong. However, what we're doing on my website is we're trying to bring that back in today's age. And if anybody has any suggestions for me, I'm all ears. But what we're doing on my website, what we've started to do, is we have a section for the music. And if you go in there, you know, you'll see the cover of the album and all that stuff. And each song has its own page, and most of the songs will have its own artwork. It's not necessarily related to the song itself, but it's just a piece of artwork from a local artist here in Key West or an international artist throughout the world. We have Walfredo, who is in every single Weiland gallery in the world. We have one of his pieces up. You'll also have all the lyrics to the song. It'll also have all the personnel who plays on the song. And one thing I feel is important is I have just a little blurb. It might not be much, but it'll have a little blurb on, you know, what influenced me on making this song. So if anybody's going to download something, you know, from iTunes or CD Baby or CD Universe or Beachfront Radio, which I'm on all those stations, all those places you can download my music from, you'll have the information. Just go to the website. Anybody can go there, whether you download it or not. And you go to the music section, and you'll have all the information that you need about the songs.
And I think that's a good thing. I like that. In the old days when the albums came out, people took the time, artists did, to let people know the story behind the story. And I really like that, and that's very important, I would think.
Well, I had talked to a big publisher/producer in Nashville, and he loved the idea. So I'm hoping it'll catch on. As far as I know, I'm the first person to do all this stuff. I posted it, and somebody said, well, Jimmy Buffett does it. Well, Jimmy Buffett puts the lyrics of his songs on. That's good. But we're going, you know, five steps further than that, and that's part of it. And other artists also will put the lyrics of their songs online. But we're trying to bring it to a new level.
Now, I'm looking forward to that, and everyone should pick up. And here we go. This is fill in the blank. We're going to act as if we've been broadcasting together for years. Chris is going to finish my sentences for me. So, from the year 2011, I think everyone should go out and buy Key West Chris CD, which is called
Shanghaied, Marooned in Key West, Things Could Be Worse. But if you just go to any of those things, any of those places, iTunes or CD Baby, CD Universe, Beachfront Radio, there's the other one, starts with an R, I forget, but, and just put in Key West Chris, it's C-H-R-I-S, the English spelling as opposed to the Scandinavian with a K, it's C-H-R-I-S, just Key West Chris, you'll find it. Or if you go to KeyWestChris.com, you'll get links.
That's a tremendous thing, and thanks for linking up with me this evening, and I look forward to tomorrow.
Well, the only complaint I have is that we're stopping. I mean, it has to happen, but, you know, I'm having such a great time.
So am I. So that means that we'll just have to do another one here real soon.
Sounds like
and
a plan. And then, like you said, you know, we have the Conk Rock thing coming up in the future, and
yes.
When you're ready, you can announce what that is. I think that's the greatest thing, because we're going to have a lot of fun with a lot of Key West musicians, and that's going to bring things to another level.
It definitely will, and the thing is, it's on island time, so we're not going to announce until we're ready, and when we're ready, we still may be a little bit after that, but the thing is, it's like wine. No wine is served before it's time, so that's the way
that's
the
right.
show will be. But look forward to Conk Rock Radio coming in 2012. It will be co-hosted by myself and also Key West Chris Green. And
I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
So, and then the thing is, I hate this whole stopping thing. And in fact, probably the next time that we have a show, I'll introduce you, at least on air, to trusty first mate Ken from Jersey, who spends some time down in Florida and who is a lover of great tropical things, and I just think that next time we'll even have a greater time. And I do appreciate your time, and it's a great chance that we'll have more conversation with that on the air later this evening. It depends on whether or not I have a second oil can. No.
Well, I'll tell you, I had a blast tonight, Captain. I appreciate so much you having me on.
No problem, and I'm going to let everyone know if they like to friend Chris on Facebook, make sure you do so, because every day he likes to give you another view of a beautiful day down in Paradise Way. Thanks for listening to Ship Ashore Radio. This is Captain Frankendred, also known as Alan Holland, who is known as Captain Frankendred, who is essentially Alan Holland with Key West Chris, who is Chris Ream, who essentially is a Key West weatherman. So,
yeah, you
Alan
can find
Chris,
me at Key West Chris, Conk Rock. My last name is spelled R-E-H-M, which nobody can spell. That's why we go by Key West Chris. But there you go. Key West Chris online, Key West Chris on Facebook. There's a fan site, and Conk Rock also.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you the very next time, and you'll be able to hear this show. We broadcast on English Internet Radio tomorrow night, 1000mics.com, and also one forever on Italian Internet Radio, speaker.com. Look on Facebook for links. Thanks for listening to Ship Ashore, and we'll leave with another view of a beautiful day down Paradise Way. Have a good evening. Coming up soon will be Dreaded Sports Talk. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Alan.
Thank you, Chris.
Skies are cloudy, rain's falling down, thinking of you, wish you were in town. Silver drops ricochet high off a once busy street, and it's a beautiful day down Paradise Way in Key West. Down in the kitchen, coffee is brewing, on the stove top, soup is stewing. All the while that rain keeps falling down. It's a beautiful day down Paradise Way in Key West. Rain keeps falling, the night falls far from the day. I'm texting kisses through drops they are missing, their heads so far away, far away. And it's a beautiful day down Paradise Way in Key West. Thank you. dancing like cymbals. Mind is wandering, imagination goes whimsically down the street with a leaf puddle futilely. And it's a beautiful lay down paradise way in Key West. Rain keeps falling, the night falls far from the day. While I'm texting kisses through drops, they are missing their heads so far away. Far away. And it's a beautiful day down Paradise Way in Key West. Such a beautiful day down Paradise Way in Key West. Such an unusual day down Paradise Way in Key West.
Months. Every now and then things kind of like run back a little bit. This is Captain Frankendred, and we had a really good time with Chris Ream, Key West Chris, on Ship to Shore Radio. But before Trusty First Mate Kim comes up with me, you know we got to take this 1 second to break things down to his most essential about what's really going down. It goes just like this.
Punctuality, dysfunction. Punctuality, dysfunction. The boss said,
"How do you run an errand for me?"
I said,
"Of course I will."
I was feeling irate. I said, "No problem, man. I'll take it there. I'll be leaving in a while." So I stopped at home to get some tunes for the cat. I found my cat was thirsty, the dog wanted out. There was so much to do, it slowed me down. I got a bit behind, and now I'm running, running, running on Jamaican time. Running, running, running on Jamaican time. Now come on, come on, come on. No need to hurry now. Cause I'm running, running, running on Jamaican time. It's going to be fun. Whoa. Why you always run behind? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Got a slow clock in my mind. It's a thing. Punctuality, dysfunction. Punctuality, dysfunction. So I left my house at 2:03. I put on Easy Skank and by my leg. Easy Skank, wa la 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 la. Easy Skank, take it easy. Lord, now take it easy.
Oh no!
Well, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Cause I should have been there at 1:45. I gotta get there quick. The traffic's thick. I'll never make it now. And now I'm running, running, running on Jamaican time. Running, running, running.
punctuality, dysfunction. When I got there from the at 2:40, there was a note that said,
"Call your boss immediately."
And I dialed the phone. I sent to myself, "Here we go again." He told me there must be some sort of explanation for giving me all of this aggravation.
Listening to Ship to Shore Radio.
Radio.
It's time for
Dreaded Sports Talk.
Jamaican time all evening, and trusty first mate Ken and the captain have just been feeling out a little bit. I was in one stateroom doing an interview with Key West Chris from Key West, and Ken, I think he was probably getting himself made a sandwich and looking at all, hoping that 2012 was going to bring him a great present of the playoffs from his mighty, mighty Twins.
I'm hoping so.
Yeah, man, you know how 2011 win for the Cubs, for both of us, really, if you want to.
Yeah, 99 losses is a year to forget for us. Injuries or not, that year, it's finished, and we're waiting for the new one to start.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. The Twins, and then you have players getting in trouble, too, and all the others. We won't go there, but anyway, here's the thing that I want to say to you is that I hope that you had a very happy holiday, because Catherine, we kind of like did our thing in different staterooms or different states, for that matter, even though they're close by. But we've had a pretty good year on Dreaded Sports Talk. In fact, if people don't know what happened, a little over a year ago, when I was doing Dreaded Sports Talk, getting back into the broadcasting business. I was doing the show by myself, and one night, Ken called in, and we had a nice discussion about big market teams, how they have a monopoly over the amount of money and opportunities in Major League Baseball. Teams have. We're talking about the Yankees, okay? And it's becoming Boston. And it's even becoming the Cubs. But who has anything to show for it this year? None of them. So what's the difference?
This year it'll be the Angels.
Yes. It's like, But what happened was I realized after about the third week, I said, man, I really like this guy. There's no telling when I'll actually meet him, but the thing is, we can develop something really nice here on Dreaded Sports Talk, and that's exactly what we did. And here it is over a year later, and I've become aware that he is a trusty first mate, someone worthy of his own ship, his own show, and that's going to happen at some point in 2012. And I want to say thank you very much for your enthusiasm, and most of all, I'm so glad that you have fun doing this, because if it becomes a business and becomes too structured, of course we have our production sheets, which we're not using this evening. We're not. That's usually just for Evil Rob, which tonight he wouldn't be able to read anyway. Yes, the third cog in our mighty partnership on this show is Evil Rob, and today is Evil Rob's birthday. We don't know if he's coming out of puberty yet, but the fact is, it's his birthday, and Chevy, a co-host of a show on Key West, show out of Key West, is in his home state, and who knows at this particular point whether or not he remembers his own name. So we will call out his name. If you're listening, Evil, Evil, happy birthday to you from the captain and first mate Ken. And now that we've gotten that out of the way, have a good time, because we're not thinking about you anymore. Now it's time for some sports.
We're going to keep a phone line of communication open in case he needs bail money. But other than that,
exactly right. Exactly. In fact, we'll say that Chevy, if you're with Evil this evening, and I know you are, you better be. If you need to call us for us to consider bailing Evil out, and maybe, so, well, if you're in jail, you can't call either. It's not a 1-800 number. But for anyone who wants to call in and weigh in and have a good time with us this evening, you can dial 347-215-9420. And I'll say it again. Please get a pencil and pen out. The number is 347-215-9420. You're listening to Dreaded Sports Talk, and this is Captain Frank and Dread, along with trusty first mate Ken, better known as Ken and Allen. Yeah, man, there were some good games this weekend. I got to tell you, it happened on Saturday, but there were still some good games.
Yeah, it was a good weekend. Some record sets, a lot of action packed games.
Now, before, I just got to say, can you tell everyone who that great quarterback was who just broke Dan Marino's record from way back?
I believe that would be the greatest fantasy football quarterback of all time, Drew Brees.
All right, Drew Brees. Wow, it's not like we should have talked about Drew Brees a little more this year. I mean, but no. Here's our opportunity, though. What I saw about the record last night, there are two things that come to mind. I like the fact that Dan Marino went to social media and see, that's the thing I don't get about social media, Ken. It's like, I'm pretty sure you don't use Twitter.
No.
Yeah, I mean, the tweet and stuff, man, that's for the birds, and I'm beginning to really, I don't really care anymore. I used to do it all the time, but here's the vibe. I noticed that Dan, he tweeted Drew Brees and told him that he was glad it was him because he's a class act, blah, 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 blah. But privately, I just kind of wonder whether or not he was thinking, oh, that's a friend of mine. Because the man didn't ever win a Super Bowl, but at least, and that's the thing. That's been part of my thing about why Drew Brees is great. Dan Marino, bless his soul, he did not win a Super Bowl, but he did lose a lot of weight. I'll say that.
And he has nice gloves, too.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And he's a horrible actor, but that's not too hard. That was a horrible movie when he was in Ace Ventura.
Ace Ventura, yeah. I remember seeing him at I went to see the Jets and the Dolphins. A buddy of mine had Jets season tickets, so I went to quite a few games, and we were in the end zone. The end zone the Dolphins were using for the pregame warm-ups, and he was just standing on the goal line. He would take like 2-3 casual steps back. They were doing passing drills, and the receivers were just running up the sideline. He was throwing his ball 35-40 yards on a line. I mean, like a not just like lazy, just like laser beams, right, hit the receiver every time. I said to my friend, I can't believe that. He's thrown about 15 passes. I don't think one has been where the guys had to reach for it. Every one of them was like a laser beam, right, just like on a rope. Not no loft to the ball, just a line, right on the line to the receiver. I'm like, wow. I was just amazed. I've seen other quarterbacks warming up and they're, you know, lofting the ball. This guy was just dropping back, and no effort, just dropping back, like real casual, just flipping the wrist, and it was like just firing out of his hand.
Yeah, and he was pretty tall on top of that. And in comparison, you think about, even he was 6'4", 228 pounds, and I got to tell you, Dan Marino was a really great quarterback, and you can talk about Peyton Manning and talk about Tom Brady and all those folks, but in terms of the quarterback position, and for all those old-timers who are listening, who will listen to us when it's rebroadcast on other networks, I got to tell you, Dan Marino, he stands out because I remember him coming in as a rookie. And it really has to be a bad weekend for those great quarterbacks. First, his record's broken, and Cam Newton broke Peyton Manning's record, but... We'll talk about that in a little bit, but yeah, he was 6'4". What's wrong with me talking as if the man is dead? He's not dead. But
his acting career is, but he's still alive.
Yeah, I mean, O.J. Simpson's acting career never took off, but now he's just acting like he's dead so the other inmates don't get a hold of him. Let's talk about a comparison. Drew Brees, not only is he, as you said, one of the greatest, well, in your mind, especially this year, you'd have to say he's the greatest fantasy football player of all time. And that's all that matters. And I have to tell you, I'm beginning to realize that this whole fantasy football thing has been working out pretty good for you.
Yes, that's enough. I'm actually on a two-sport winning streak because I won, actually, the baseball league that Evil Rob started up. First year we had it going, and won that, and then just won this football league. So now I got to wait in a couple more months till baseball starts up again.
Yeah, I'm
time to start doing research.
Yeah, absolutely, and even the captain, even though I was in that league, and I never did a thing with it. This year might be a little different, but this is astounding. This year, Drew Brees has 41 touchdowns and only 13 interceptions. I can see why you're so happy about having had the wisdom to pick him.
Yeah, there's a strategy involved. If you get, like, one of the first three picks, you want to take, you know, the Rodgers, Brady, or Brees. If you're picking below that, then you start looking for the top guys at the other positions. We happen to have the third pick, so we took him. He was actually the third guy in the whole entire draft. Rodgers went first and Brady.
Yeah, that for the time being, though, I know you can't wait till next week. I don't know, we don't know how much she's going to play, but next week, here's the thing. And I mentioned earlier there was a second thing I wanted to mention about him breaking the record last night. There were a lot of people upset that the New Orleans Saints continue to throw the ball even though they were up comfortably. But I say to you that it's not their job to stop being professionals. It's the other team's job to be professional defenders. And the Falcons, they were definitely clipped because Matt Ryan put up one hell of a game himself. He's still I don't know about that kid. You know, I don't know about Matt Ryan because he's just he's not spectacular. Every now and then you have a really great game, and Michael Turner, he's been beat up a lot and he didn't get to run, but who cares? I just wanted to mention that the Falcons' offensive output last night was mainly centered around Matt Ryan, but the star of the show was Drew Brees, and you talked about accuracy earlier. Man, that guy, to only be 6 feet tall, and I think that's with a set of heels on.
yeah, to be able to see over the line, it's 6 feet is short compared to them linemen.
He has a pretty good quick release, but, man, if anyone's been watching Drew Brees over some time, the guy really, really, really is accurate, and he understands what his head coach, Sean Payton's trying to do. But most of all, he understands what Ken's trying to do, and that's to win the fantasy league, and he obliges.
I saw a post on Facebook earlier about that subject, about should they have gone for the record, and I agree 100% with what you just said. This is the NFL. If you can't stop it, then maybe you should bring in a bunch of new players. Now, they threw to get the record, then they called off the dogs. It wasn't like they kept throwing and ran the score up to like 50 or 55 points. You know, if it's your job to stop it. You know, and there's a good chance they could meet in the playoffs. The only thing that could backfire. They do meet in the playoffs, and the Falcons remember that, and maybe fires them up a little bit, but I just don't think the defense is good enough to stop Brees.
I don't think too many people are equipped to stop him, but here's another funny thing about Drew Brees, and that is he has help now. He has four running backs that at any time, those guys, they aren't East to Coast runners except when they have to, but the most important thing is those guys are equipped to play even if they had to go to the tundra. And, in fact, I will come right out and say that the Saints, now that they have those running backs, they can play in any condition. That's only going to help Drew Brees because before, for so long, they pretty much were one-dimensional. They had Drew Brees and an occasional good run every now and then. But now, I'm not even sure if that's not what the Saints did, was go out and get running backs who could run north to south and who hit the hole and keep going and not worry about the snow. But the Packers, you guys, but hope you don't get any more injuries because you're ripe for the picking when it comes to play. I think the Saints, and didn't I say this last week? I said, watch out for the Saints.
The Green Bay defense is pretty much awful.
Yes.
They give up tons of yards. They gave up close to 400 yards to the Bears this week.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be a heck of a game. That would be a shootout game. Listen, outdoors in really horrible weather. Have both of those offenses. Because the same defense, while it's better than the Packers, it's not. I wouldn't call that one of the top defenses in the NFL. But I think they're better than the Packer offense or defense. But to have them two quarterbacks going head to head would be that would be one great game.
I think so, too. I'm looking forward to it. I think probably the way to – the thing is, you just cannot, for some reason, count out the 49ers. I don't know what's going on, but those guys have something going out there on the Bay.
Yeah, they need to win this week, which they should. They're playing the Rams. I think they'll lock up the 2 seed.
You're scaring me because I saw that they're playing the Rams, and – every talking head says, well, they should beat the Rams. Well, the Packers should have beaten the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad Tebow time is dead for now?
You notice how that just got super quiet the last 2 weeks? Four picks last week. Two returns for touchdowns. He's just not a good throwing quarterback. Can he get better if they worked on technique? Yes, he probably could, but right now he's more of a runner. He was a good college quarterback. In fact, people forget his junior year at Florida, he was kind of like not a specialist, but he'd come in on the running downs. He was on a pure passing down, third and long. He wasn't in the game. anytime they needed to put the ball on the ground or that was a possibility, he was in the game. He was a runner. Now, if they can make this guy into a running back, that's what I always say. But people go, no, he can work on his technique. And so I don't know.
I guess
he could, but.
The thing is, he had to run patterns as a wide receiver early in the season, but I kind of disagree with you, Ken, just because of one reason. I think the situation is they're doing things backward. They're so married to this forward pass because he plays for Denver and everyone knows about John Elway and everything he did, and he's got to learn how to pass. He's got to learn how to pass. That's the problem. They were winning games and controlling the clock when they ran first and made defenses have the game plan just for the Broncos. But now every defensive coordinator got their job because they got it based on stopping a traditional passing game or traditional NFL offense. And I think what the Broncos had going for themselves was it's like, oh, my gosh, we got to play the Broncos this week. Son of a bitch. Why don't we call a college coach and know how to stop this shit? You know, that's what I think happened. Yeah. But I don't know if you see the point that I'm making, but he was doing much better when they catered the Broncos' offense around what he does best. And now they're trying to make him fit into what is the NFL's peg. And I think that has started to hurt them because the guy, obviously, not only can he not throw the way he needs to with accuracy and all of those things, but they're looking for it now, okay? Why don't they stay the way they were? No one really could stop him. I say, and you remember this, Ken, you probably will remember this because you stick to stats and see things, but a while back, people just couldn't stop them from running, period. Nobody could. It kept the other team off. Didn't matter how good the other quarterback was. Granted, they played a bunch of journeyman quarterback, which, by the way, Green Bay, what does that say about them that they let a guy, Luke McCown, it's like, send in McCown. Anyway, he comes out. He was coached in high school. He never had a great game as a quarterback before. So, Packers, that was a great point you made. They're in trouble. But Tebow, let him be the guy he is. And Elway, you stuck your neck out now. He said, hey, I'm going to spend time with him in the offseason as if that's like the miracle. It's like, oh, wow. I mean, maybe John Elway should go and work with the flag football team because you know what? Your time has passed, buddy. The limelight's over. Oh, I don't know.
They could still make the playoffs, too, with a win this week. They don't have to play a decent team in the playoffs. I mean, he looked okay against the Patriot defense, but the Patriot defense is going to be their Achilles. That's what's going to keep them out of, I think, a trip to the Super Bowl. Unless Brady just starts lighting up and they start outscoring people, you know, 42, you know, 35, scores like that. But their defense isn't very good either.
I agree with you, and it all boils down again to the fact that his wife says, Tom, unless you win a Super Bowl, you're on the couch. If she plays that angle, everyone's in trouble because he'll think, no, wow. He'll come out and light it up. Because he'll have no fury like a frustrated husband who's not getting it at home. So that Dalton kid, I noticed that they're trying to say that Dalton and Cam Newton and Tebow, oh boy, they're thinking that maybe they might have a shot at getting into the Pro Bowl as alternates. And I ask you, out of those three quarterbacks, which one is least likely to actually earn or deserve a spot?
Tebow. You know, he doesn't deserve. I mean, I know he's won these games, but if you're going by numbers, his numbers don't compare. Cam Newton has been unbelievable between throwing the ball and running. He does everything for this. He is the team. Well, I shouldn't say that because D'Angelo Williams and Stewart all of a sudden have they've been a good combination lately. They've been putting up yards, a lot of big runs. And they keep teams honest. I mean, Cam Newton had some games where he's thrown for some big yards this year. I mean, he threw for only 171 last week, but he was 12 for 17, 171 with three touchdowns. And he ran for touchdowns. He was responsible for four touchdowns. That's 171 through the air and 65 on the ground, rushing.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that situation. And I don't care that
Tebow wins game, because you know I've been in his corner week after week after week based on the fact that he just wins. Well, he just lost two games in a row, and the Pro Bowl isn't about bringing your team to victory, okay? I mean, really, does it matter in the Pro Bowl if your team wins? Really? Really? They should make it like baseball, where whoever wins an All-Star game gets home field advantage, which doesn't matter.
You're
going to
be missing most of the best players in the league in that game, because they do it now the week before the Super Bowl. So, I mean, let's just say, you know, that the Packers are playing the Steelers in the Super Bowl. You're not going to see any Green Bay or any Pittsburgh players. So that's really not an All-Star game, because you don't have your best guys playing. But I also see their point where when it's after the season, probably, I'd say probably get 60%, maybe a little bit higher, of the voted-in players, the veterans, don't go. They start replacing them with the young guys who are, you know, going to get a free week's trip to Hawaii.
Yes, that's exactly what it boils down to, and they can bring their wives and cousins and girlfriends.
Who was the guy who got hurt, though? Remember the running back, I forgot his name, for the Patriots? He was a young guy,
Georgia.
had a great year, and he basically hurt his knee, never was the same, never came back, playing beach volleyball in one of those sponsored tournaments or something that the league was running. It was like supposed to be a fun thing, but he totally messed up his knee playing beach volleyball.
He was from the University of Georgia, and I will... His name is right on the tip of my tongue, but the thing was, and he was an absolutely great runner, too, and it doesn't matter if we remember his name, just that this particular situation stands out in my mind, because he went down there, and on the beach, boom, look what happened to him.
Yep.
He blew his knee out. I believe his first name was Robert. Again, I need to stop speculating, but yeah, that's the kind of thing that they need to worry about, because I mean, just look at the lineman who was hit in the eye with the penalty flag, and he was out for years. And wouldn't you be mad too? I mean, they should give him his money back if they took him for that suspension. He almost took that friggin' referee and slam dunked him over the goalpost. I mean, really, he was out for years.
I just saw something interesting. I was watching one of the bowl games on North Carolina State and Louisville. And I guess because they're down, it's in Charlotte, so it's, you know, auto racing country. And they had the players from both teams going to, like, the Richard Petty driving experience. Some kind of, I guess they go to the track and they get in the car and they do some laps. And there was this 320-pound lineman from North Carolina State. And they were literally pushing him into the car to get him through, to get him in the car, because the doors don't open on the race car. So he was, they were like just trying to squeeze him through the window. And they were pushing him by the head, pushing his neck down. I mean, they literally squeezed it. And I'm thinking, the coach ain't saying this, because they were twisting that guy's neck around like a pretzel to fit him in the car. And then he got in the car, and he was, like, so jammed. I don't know how he drove the car, because he was so squeezed in there. His hands were, like, at an awkward angle holding onto the wheel. And I was laughing, watching him. I'm thinking, this poor guy's going to get hurt. How are they going to get him out?
Yeah.
They need the jaws of life to cut the roof off. The guy was way too big for the – he should have just used his common sense to say, you know what, I can't fit in there.
Yeah, what we really need, Ken, in the bowl situation, now that's entertaining and all, but it only takes me back to the 80s when the University of Miami, they went down to the dinner and felt that they were being made fun of, and they pulled out the fatigues and they just walked out. We need those kind of experiences in bowl games, because that was pretty funny. That was really funny.
I wish they would show that again somewhere. That was a riot, squeezing that guy in the car.
Yeah, you know what? While we have the second, what I would like to do is play a little bit of music, because Ken and I, we happen to like tropical-type music, and what we're going to do is play a little bit for you right now. But the first thing I want to say is it's good to be here this evening, and Brother Evil, I know you're just being evil this evening, but Ken and I are just plain sick. But I think what I'm going to do is play a little conk rock for you by Chris Reamy, who was on a little bit earlier on a different program, Ship Ashore Radio. But that fellow's got some good music. It's different, but it's still cool just the same. And I'm going to play something called Raise My Glass to the Upper 48. Did you listen to Ship Ashore Radio? And this is Dreaded Sports Talk with Captain Frank and Dread and Trusty First Mate Ken. We'll see you back. See you shortly. Thank you.
Waterfront Mark. It's early long. Chairs off the tables in the bar. It's a new dawn. I see the water in the bay. Glisten and shine. In the distance, I hear a tug's horn. Let out. Girls all give a pretty smile. Streets are wet from the night before another tropical storm. Homeless still scatter the doorway, sleeping it off. Work in Duval rewards a sidewalk and a mile. They call me, they
why not visit back home? And although I love him dear, I just never want to live here. Roots have grown to this old rock, lock me firm and strong. Doctor's gone wild at blue heaven, where we all belong. But I don't want to go nowhere, that way I'll never be late. Island time is this life of mine, so I'll raise my glass to the upper. Oh, my glass to the upper, oh, hey. But I'll raise my glass to the upper.
Dreaded Sports Talk on the Dreaded Sports Talk Network.
Yeah, we were listening to some nice music of the conk rock origin from Key West Chris Ream, straight out of Key West, Florida. And I would just like to say this whole thing of Island Time is something that I truly embrace, and sports is sometimes a really great avenue for enjoying oneself and to get away from the hustle and bustle of life. And that's the thing. I mean, probably right now, I don't know what you're watching, but I am watching that North Carolina State game that you were mentioning earlier.
Yeah.
And look, that was ugly. In fact, that kick that just happened. Oh, I'm hurt. Somebody call my mama. No. Yeah, and I just wanted to mention that tonight's show is being produced by none other than the Zen Man, who came to this network from Key West Show, but now is a member of Ship to Shore Radio and the Dreaded Sports Thought Network, and he is our producer, and I'm sure that he's watching some sports right now. How's it going, Zen?
It's going pretty good, Captain.
Yeah, man. So what are you watching right now?
You know, I'm watching the Heat-Celtics game. It's a lot of hype, but, you know, last year the Celtics owned us during the regular season, but as predicted, the Heat are destroying them right now.
Well, that's okay. I know that you and the rest of those folks down that way love basketball and the Heat and all of that, but I can tell you for a trusty first mate, Ken, he doesn't care because you're a youngster and that's what floats your boat. And if you think they're going to win again or win this year, they may win a bunch of games, but I don't think they're going to win the whole thing. But that's all right. I know you love the Heat, and I have to give you your props for your team because Ken and I love our professional football teams and baseball teams. Being he likes the Giants and he likes the Twins and I like the Cubs and like the Bulls, by the way, but also the Bears, which is kind of bizarre when I think about it. right here, I'm thinking that's pretty bizarre for you. I never brought this up over the past year, Ken, that you like a team and a very, very cold place, but yet you're like another team where the people are very cold.
I'm a big Ranger fan too. We're doing really good this year so far. I mean, it's still early, but it's I would have never predicted they'd have this many points and have the record they do now. If you asked me that back in mid September during training camp, they're actually doing things that they never did in the past. They used to be the team that would get the veteran like 10 years after his prime, trade the young players for the Guy Lafleurs, the Marcel Dions. I don't know if you remember, those guys all finished their career out as Rangers. They're keeping the young kids, they're not giving them away. If you look at their lineup, the entire roster, a lot of names most people probably haven't heard. They're all, kids 20, 24 years old in that range. You know, a couple of veterans mixed in, Gabrick and those guys, but there's a lot of young kids playing. The defense is extremely young.
Well, that whole hockey situation, I actually entertain getting into a hockey fantasy league this winter because everybody knows I love the Blackhawks. In fact, I want to ask you, Zinman, do you subscribe to the view of hockey at all? Do you have any teams? Do you care? And it's okay because Ken doesn't care about your Heat. He probably cares that LeBron James gets blocked a few times, as I do.
No, I do watch it sometimes. It is updates on the phone. I mean, I'm a Florida Panthers fan, but I'd feel stupid if I said, I'm a diehard fan or anything. But I can definitely tell you I know the score of every game because it pops up on my phone. But I enjoy watching it during the playoffs, but it's a little slow for me, I guess. Just not that much scoring. Same reason I don't like soccer that much, you know?
Yeah.
But it's not really.
I can't get excited over the World Cup for the same reason you just mentioned. I mean, I guess if you're a purist and you really, really, really know the game, you know, a 0-0 tie, you appreciate the defense and the goalkeeping. But to me, that's like the only time I went to go see professional soccer was back late 70s, early 80s when the Cosmos were big. And we were about 15 to 20, 25 minutes from Giant Stadium. And we used to go up there all the time. We were in like high school and college. Use your school ID. You got in for $4. So we used to go see all these guys play, and they were just so much better than all the teams that they played that a 1-0 game was really unusual. You'd see 5, 6, maybe 7 goals because you had the best players in the world. And granted, none of them were at their prime. They were all starting that downward slide because they were getting a little bit older. I bet Pelé and Kinalia and Beckenbauer, these guys were still pretty good. Playing against really inferior people, it was kind of just, it was a little bit exciting because you got to see some unbelievable plays, passing and teamwork, but there was scoring. You know, if it was 1-0 or 0-0, like some of these games you see, I $4 or not, I still wouldn't have won. But you got some, you had some excitement out of it, you know?
Yeah, the thing that I want to tell you guys that scared the heck out of me is back around 1982, and I was in Europe. Went to a soccer match in Belgium, and I was enjoying things fine, and then all of a sudden there was a commotion on one end, and all I know is the usher said, "Everyone leave as soon as possible." So the hooligans and all of that, it's like, wow, really? So when people talk about the hooligans, that's the one thing to scare the heck. It's just, remember the events they had at, like, the Raiders game where the guy got beat up in the parking lot? Well,
yeah.
It happens on the inside.
I saw something on AOL News the other day where I don't even know which it was over in Europe. I'm not sure what country it was, but a guy who was already banned from being in the stadium, he actually dressed up in a disguise and used somebody else's ticket to get in, got in, charged the field, charged at the goalkeeper. The goalkeeper stepped back and did like some kind of like a karate kick and whacked the guy. Then the guy was down. Then he started to pummel the guy. And the goalkeeper got ejected from the game.
That's so stupid. Have you ever been to any type of sporting event, Zinman, where there was a fight that broke out?
What kind of? No, I haven't been to any sporting event where a fight's broken out yet. I don't think. I think I can recall.
Then you haven't lived. Well, that just a quick segue into anything. We all have our sports and things that we really love, but I tell you, there's one thing that I can tell. on Thursday evenings right here, you can hear the Zen Man with the Southernmost Sports Rap. Can you tell us a little bit about that show? What do you cover on the show so the listeners can set their clock?
Yes, you know what? I just cover the main three. I rarely cover hockey. Sometimes I do. I like to get the standings out. But, yes, I do cover a lot of the NFL. I like to talk about the last week's scores and, you know, the upcoming games. You know, I also have a top three plays I like to play, and it's pretty exciting. I have a stat of the week. And occasionally I do have a guest. I've had a couple guests on the last couple weeks, and I try to get as many as possible. And I just make it entertaining, you know. I try to just make it a little organized, but just have a lot of fun, and it's been going good so far.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing is, you mentioned that it's fun. And for Ken and I, this is fun. It hasn't gotten to the point where it was like, oh, gosh, we got to do a radio show. It's fun. That's what it's all about.
Yes,
and you've done a great job so much that even the captain realized that you deserve to have two staterooms. So that's why you can catch us in, man, also on Sundays at high noon most of the time for the Southernmost NFL pregame show, where he sets up all your fantasy teams. Although I want to ask you this. Now, on your fantasy league, did you have Drew Brees on any of your teams?
No, I did not. I wish I did, though.
See, you can learn something. Make sure you get Ken's number so he can set you up, so you can set everybody else up, because who's the best fantasy league?
I would like to point out one thing. I'll give Ken congratulatory. I know he had to go through the Zen Man Sasquatch Nation in fantasy
baseball
in the first round. So I do remember that. He did beat me, and he ended up winning the whole thing. So congrats on that, I guess. I'm a good loser.
Well, that's all right. The thing I want to impart to everyone is Zen Man has been on the air for over a year. He used to have a show with another fellow when he was living in Key West. Now he's in Miami, Florida, and it's good to have you on the network, and we really appreciate you coming in to filling a little time, since Evil Rob is filling in some time with some beer probably right now.
He's probably filling
in. Well, last week I filled in.
I'll
go ahead. I was going to say, last week I filled in for Chevy, and this week I filled in for Evil Rob, so I'm doing a couple of favors.
it's the forgotten couple, because they forgot to call in. But that's
Amen.
All right. Once again, everyone raise your glass. And are you having some rum this evening, Zen Man?
You know what? Today is the first day I'm actually going to give up alcohol. I have a busy 2 months ahead of me, and I got to start going to bed early. And no sodas, no alcohol for a couple months for me. But it doesn't mean I still can't have fun.
Well, you know, I'm glad to know that you decided to do that before the new year, because too many people make New Year's resolutions and they, I don't know, man, if you're going to do something, just do it because you're doing it for you or whatever. But I wish you a lot of luck over your next 2 months, and probably you stop drinking because you had some rums when you did your last week's picks and you realize, holy cow, man, how was that? Because we did. I had a pretty bloody week myself. I mean, we had two ugly two Sundays of NFL football. I mean, can you believe the games that happened, I mean, over the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's just been crazy. And just goes along with the whole season, really, just the fact that it's just been, you don't know how to pick. It's not really, I don't want to say that it's just my bad picks. It's just these teams are just so unbelievably inconsistent, and it's hard to really, you figure out a new thing about every team, and it's week 16, week 17 now. And you should already know about these teams, and you still don't. So.
I agree with you there.
Now it gets hard to pick the games, because you got teams that aren't going all out, teams that are resting players, teams that just want to go home for the year. The Colts have won two games in the last couple of weeks. They're going to win their way out of the number one pick if they keep doing that.
Yeah, they still have the MVP on the team. Peyton Manning, MVP. You know. Jim Harbaugh, Coach of the Year, because I'm telling you, I can't believe how Mike Singletary had essentially the same team, and look what happened. But the only blunder he had was bringing in Braylon Edwards, who they had to cut, because he just wasn't doing anything. Maybe he started drinking again. I don't know, but he's out of there. That's pretty bad when you get cut in week 17. I mean, they don't want to give you one more check. They're like, dude, you've just been rotting for a while now, and we're cutting you out. That's pretty bad.
It is not time to cut somebody after all this time. Like a fairly established guy, it must be something going on behind the scenes. Maybe he is drinking again. he was a big nightclub guy, and he was always out when he was with the Jets them 2 years. He was, I don't think he was home studying a playbook a whole lot.
No, I don't think so. I mean, and that's funny you said that, because my impression is something smells about it. That's what I'm just thinking. And hopefully he doesn't start hanging out with Plaxico Burress. But I digress. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to play a little music, and we're going to come back. And what we're going to do is we're going to pick the NFL games, at least at this moment, because you know what really sucks for us sometimes is we're absolutely sure of what we're going to do, and then a coach decides that a player is too hurt and they're not playing, like on later during the week, and something happens on Sunday. Somebody beats up his wife and he's in jail, or tries to set up a drug network in Chicago, and all of a sudden, even though his name was Sam Hurd, he's not going to be heard from again.
Yeah.
Funny things happen, but why don't we get, if everyone will assemble your picks, what we're going to do is have a good time by picking with the Zen Man from the Southernmost Sports Wrap, and also on Sundays from the Southernmost NFL pregame show. And if people don't understand why the Southernmost, because he one time lived in Key West. He's very deep in a place where it's warm every day for the most part. The people may not be all that warm at times, but yes, he is down where in the island of palm trees and all of those things, and the sunshine and bikinis and all that. Hey, Ken, can you have a travel agent? I think we need to take a trip down there and have a show. Yeah, but we're going to play a little music, and when we come back, what we're going to do is whip out our picks. And no, I didn't say what you guys thought I said when we were going to whip out. It really wasn't what I said. But why don't
I heard it.
Oh, rut roll. So that's kind of the deal. I think I want to play something by Chris Ream. This one is called Cajun's Got a Coconut. Okay, in fact, Cajun is his dog, okay? And if you just hear the words, you'll know where he's coming from. But the whole vibe or situation is we just need a little time to finalize what we're going to say on the air that people are going to remember from this point on. So here we are. You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio with Captain Frank and Dredd and Trusty First Mate Ken from Jersey, and also sitting in for Evil Rob, who Cajun may have a coconut, but he may have coconut rum and a whole bunch of other stuff this evening. But thanks for listening, and we'll be back in 4 minutes and 38 seconds.
Okay.
Got a Coconut, followed up by a nice little ditty. Yes, I'm copying someone else from another network. I think it's funny because it is funny. But just the same, we are listening to Dreaded Sports Talk. And this is Captain Frank and Dread along with trusty first mate Ken and the Zen Man from the Southernmost Sports Wrap-Up from Thursdays and also the Southernmost NFL pregame show on Sundays. And this is our pre-weekend picks because we don't know everything, but we know what we do at 10:28 Eastern Standard Time on this particular evening. And what we do know is this. Carolina plays at New Orleans. I can tell you right now, Carolina has a good, young, and up-and-coming quarterback by the name of Cam Newton, but New Orleans has the... Ken, you want to tell him?
The best fantasy quarterback in history, Drew Brees.
Exactly right. And they're going to be playing at 1 p.m. at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, which doesn't make sense to me. Here's a city that had such devastation and loss that no one's known in America since, I guess, 100-something years since the Cubs have been to the World Series, but that's another story. But can you, but really, though, for a second, the Mercedes-Benz Super Bowl, really? Where's Mercedes-Benz when all that happened?
Yeah.
We asked for another show.
Most of the people in New Orleans can't even afford a Yugo.
That's right. You go where it goes. If it goes. Yeah, see, Zen Man, you're a little young for the Yugo. Do you know what the Yugo was?
I do not.
It was a car built in Yugoslavia, and you go slow and you never get there. In fact, I'm going to find a picture of that vehicle and email it to you because then you will laugh your behind off. If you were anyone more than 6 feet tall, you were in trouble. You were actually sitting in the trunk while driving. And after a few months, you became a la the Flintstones, meaning that you had your feet probably stopping the damn thing. Speaking of stopping someone, can the Carolina defense stop the Saints? And I will tell you right now, absolutely not, because New Orleans, they have the ... first mate.
Greatest quarterback in fantasy football history.
See, you can tell we've been on the air together all this time because you've got – Mike and Morning, ESPN Radio. We've got, you have the greatest, yeah, we got it. Yeah, no problem. But I'm thinking the Saints because you are not going to stop Drew Brees, okay? Even when he's just shooting the breeze, he's shooting something that people can understand. And what he's going to be putting down, the Panthers will not be able to pick up. So there you go. The Saints are going to win this one. That's what I say. And Zen Man, since you are our honorary guest, very special co-host in place of Evil Rob, this evening, and we're going to talk about the dude later before we get off this program, just because he's not listening and he won't remember. So, what do you say, Zen, man?
To be honest with you, I've been thinking about it for the last 3-4 minutes, and just because of the game itself, I think the Saints are going to go to the Super Bowl, but I just don't think the Saints are going to realize that the 49ers are playing the Rams. So I really don't think that they're going to be balls to the walls in this game. And I think, on the other hand, the Panthers are hot, and they're going to really, really want to win this game for pride. And just with the young – I just think the Panthers are going to win if you look at that aspect and being the last game of the year. I just don't think the Saints are going to be playing for really anything. I mean, they could possibly win and the 49ers could lose, but I just don't think the 49ers are going to lose, period. So I think they know that. And I just think the intensity for the Panthers will be out. So I think the Panthers to win.
That's a pretty good point of view. I can see why I was smart enough to give you 2 shows of your own. Okay. So there you have it. So what are you thinking about it, First Mate?
I'm going to go with the Saints only because I just think overall they're a better team. The Carolina defense isn't that strong. I think they'll have Breeze for the first half. They play at 1, and San Francisco also plays at 1, so they'll be watching the scoreboard. And I think once they see San Francisco's ahead, you might not see Breeze. Probably won't see Breeze at all in the second half. But I think they'll have enough built up from the first half if Breeze comes out and plays the way he has been to get by Carolina.
That's a good one, too. You may be right. That's essentially what I'm thinking, is they have just too much. If they're going to go to the Super Bowl, they should be able to beat Carolina, even though they may not have their mind on it, and that's why I say the Packers can win. How the hell are you going to let Kansas City beat you? Okay? I think that's sound, as they say in Chinese terms, sage advice. But, yeah, no, that wasn't Chinese, but that's just the interpretation. But, yeah, 2-1. We think the Saints are going to win, but at the same time, the Zen man, he had some very good arguments to why he felt the Panthers are going to win. So you guys can go to dreadedsportstalk.wordpress.com and see these picks coming up. It'll be posted by midnight on Thursday, and we'll just see what the heck happens. Buffalo
no
and New
question.
England. Yeah. right off the bat, I'm thinking the Bills are saying, really? You counted us out? They may say that, but I just don't see them beating New England. But it's a possibility. So with that in mind, I am going to say that the Bills are going to beat New England. Not the Patriots are going to win. That's my assessment. What are you thinking there, First Mate? What are you thinking, man, on this game?
I'm actually going to take a chance on Buffalo because the Patriots can't move up or down. They're locked in. I don't think you're going to see Brady for a long, much, if at all. But you'll probably see him in the first – definitely the first half, maybe the first quarter. I can see a lot of disinterest on the Patriots' part. They don't want to get hurt. They want to go into the bye week. They really don't have anything to play for. Buffalo's just playing for pride. They put up 40 points last week. Thanks to Tim Tebow, but
yeah, Tebow, oh no. Yeah, that was bad. So you're picking the Bills in an upset?
Yeah.
And I'm not really thinking it would be an upset. I just chose New England because the Bills are going to New England, and I'm thinking they're beset by too many injuries. So that's why I picked New England to win. And I'm really eager to see where you're coming from on this one, Zen Man.
Well, they actually don't have – they had the first round bye locked up. They don't have the first pick. They're playing a conference game, so if they lose, their conference record drops. And if – either the Ravens or the Steelers, I don't know which one, can possibly tie them and take over that first seed. One of them definitely can. And you're right, the Bills have just been horrible. And, yeah, they might have just done well with Tebow, but Tebow and Brady are two opposite quarterbacks. And, I just think that the Patriots are home. They have something to play for. And they definitely don't want to – the teams that are going to be contending are going to be the Steelers and the Ravens. And they don't want to go – through one of those teams on the road, and I think that they're going to definitely play to win the game. However many Brady quarters it takes Brady to seal the game up. So I picked the Patriots.
That's good. The thing is about Ken, he usually has a good sense of these things, and it doesn't matter either way because the Bills are going nowhere and the Patriots are trying to go somewhere. So either way, it's going to be entertaining. As they play in Gillette Stadium, and if anything else, maybe if they win, Mr. Kraft will give all the Patriots some new razors because he has all. He does own Gillette. I don't really want to talk about this game, but I have to. Chicago and Minnesota. And what I think we should do, for this particular pick, everyone lean really, really close to your speakers and see if you hear this. Tails. All right. The Vikings win this game. That's how I feel about it. Really. That's how I feel about it. The Vikings are going to beat the Bears. Yes, that's right. I know even more people will share this show after they hear it just because, yes, for the second week in a row, the captain picked a team other than the Bears because I can be a professional or I can just flip the point and not care. So no logic, just a matter of chance. There's a chance that I'm going to be crying something.
I'm going to go.
All right, well, yeah, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't know who was going next. Go ahead, Ben.
I want to go with the Vikings. I know Peterson's out, but they've been playing. They've been putting points up. Toby Gerhardt's not a bad running back. Percy Harvin's finally headache-free and has been playing pretty well. Although the Bears didn't play awful against the Packers. They moved the ball. They put up a lot of yards on the Packer defense. But just for the fact that Minnesota's at home, I'm going to go with the Vikings.
Yeah, I got Joe Webb. Joe Webb is the quarterback, and I think he's going to be next year's quarterback if they don't draft one. He's been playing lights out when he's came in the last 3 weeks, so I definitely have the Vikings at home. Their offense is a lot better with him in there.
Wow, I never would have thunk it that with all the weapons that the Bears had at one time, and just think Devin Hester's even nursing a leg injury, that we'd be unanimous in week 17 that the Bears are going to actually lose at Minnesota, who's lost to me, the best running back in all of the NFL. That's in regular terms. I mean, of course, he doesn't quite top. What's his name again, the place in Houston?
Arian Foster.
Right. So my thing is this. The Bears, they just placed Cutler and Joe Forte, and if I may just interject this real fast, Forte, they should see the fact that he didn't get paid earlier, he's not going to get paid now. When you get a backup running back who comes in and runs for over 120 yards, Forte's screwed, okay? He might as well just move on to a new team. Yeah, so there you go. We all picked the Vikings to beat the Bears as they play at the Mall of America field, okay? Does this mean the mall's that big that they have a field in the middle of it? I don't know. The Jets and Miami. I am picking the Dolphins to win this game. That's right, Zen Man. You heard me. What do you have to say about it?
Yeah, no question. Dolphins obviously playing pretty damn good. I mean, they lost to the Pats, but they had them. You know, they're showing a lot of signs of life. They played pretty well the last second half of the season, and they want nothing more than to knock the Jets out of the playoffs. So they're going to be fired up at home, and I think they're going to blow them out, 20 points.
Wow, see, you were doing great until you stepped out like that. You're being a homer on this one.
I'm going with the Dolphins as well. I don't like the Jets. The defense is overrated. Sanchez is just, I mean, a lot of people are always, I see a lot of Facebook arguments of people up here, you know, comparing them, like just Eli Manning, the comparison. Eli Manning comes back in the fourth quarter and wins games. This guy just, they never let him throw the ball down the field. It's all check-offs, you know, dump-offs, and I just don't think this was a good year for the Jets. And like I said, I think the defense is severely overrated, and I think the Dolphins want to win the last game in Sun Life Stadium because it's changing names again after, like, the first of the year.
It's starting to get less important every time they do it.
It was Landshark for the 1 year, and they had Buffett down there doing a halftime gig and the whole thing. That was like a one-year deal that they signed. Now it was Sun Life. And I think they did mention what it was changing to, but I forgot what it was.
I don't know, but one thing is not changing is Rex. He keeps putting his foot in his mouth, and the thing is, it's not his wife. Yeah, so there you have it. Dolphins winning that one. Detroit at Green Bay. Okay, you guys ready for this?
Yes.
Detroit wins. I'm picking Detroit to win. Wonder why?
Because they're not going to be playing anybody, and they have everything locked up.
Because the Lions are sick and tired. Sick and tired of being sick and tired of people saying that they're not a good team, that they're not the team that they are now. And I just think that even if Green Bay paid their regulars, I think that the Lions are going to win the grand game or at least the fight after. Because Sue is going to say, sue me. Because they would be smart not to play. I mean, I write those in, man. I don't know what you were getting ready to say, and you have a chance for that, but I'll tell you. Do you think they want to play Rodgers with Ndamukong Suh ready to go pulverize his behind?
They're not playing him, period, just because anything could happen. But, I mean, that's obviously, you don't want him to come down with Suh, however you say his name, Ndamukong Suh. Obviously, he's one of the worst that you want back there, especially with his temper and not liking the Packers one bit. But just wanted to point out that Stafford didn't make the NFC Pro Bowl game, and I think he might light a little fire under his cap as well. So I think that'll also help him out.
I think you're right, and the thing is that championship belt that Rodgers likes to put on, this isn't a WWE, and it's not staged. So in the light of reality, he's just going to lose. That's what I'm thinking. So what you're saying is you believe the Lions are going to win, Zen Man?
Yes, sir.
There you go. So what do you think, Ken?
I'm taking Detroit, too. I don't think Green Bay is going to play anybody. This is Detroit's chance to get back at them. Again, Green Bay is not going to be motivated. They're going to be out there just trying not to get hurt, get the game over with. And this is Detroit's last chance to get a little bit of momentum going into the playoffs. So a win against them would really set them up nice after blowing out the Chargers.
Well, one thing I do want to add really quick, the Falcons have the tiebreaker, so the Falcons are playing at home against the Bucs. So if they lose that game, if Detroit loses, they pretty much guarantee to play the Saints. So who would you rather play, either the Giants or the Cowboys or the Saints? I know it's a lot to think about, but that's basically what this win-loss is probably going to come out to. So I think they know that, and they'd much rather play one of the NFC East teams than the Saints or the 49ers.
Agreed. I kind of feel you on that one. And speaking about teams that really don't have anything to play for, they don't. The 49ers versus St. Louis. I'm picking the 49ers because they're going to be eating a lot of ribs and drinking a lot of beer around Edward Jones, right? Downtown by, they have the arch, okay? Well, the Rams are going to have to arch themselves because the 49ers are going to screw them over, okay? I tell you. So I'm picking the 49ers to win that game.
Yeah, I'm going with San Francisco, too. I just can't – nothing to like about the Rams other than, it's Steven Jackson, but that's – got to go with San Francisco needs to win. They'll take care of business early.
Yeah, Rams, I think, are down to their third string anyways.
Yeah.
So there's just no possible way. Nobody's going to sleep on the defensive side for 49ers. There's just no way. And they do have a little bit to play for, so there's no way that they're going to – beat the 49ers.
So next up we have the Rex Grossman versus the Michael Vick Bowl at Lincoln Financial Field. And I will tell you flat out that the Eagles are going to win this game.
Yeah, I'm going to go with them also.
Nope.
So what about it?
Yeah, no question.
Okay.
They're playing pretty good right now. I mean, if there was any more games left, I think the Eagles would find a way in the playoffs. And I think they're definitely trying to do the best they can to salvage any part of their season. So they're going to go all out, I think, and win.
I'm agreeing with both of you. Next up, Indianapolis at Jacksonville. I hate to say it, but Indy's going to win this game. And it sucks because they had a chance at luck, but now all the debates are going to stop whether or not they should keep Peyton Manning. Of course they should. But they need to get something else in the quarterback. Let someone else get Andrew Luck. But the Colts, they finally have someone who at least play decent quarterback. And I don't know why the heck they didn't put Orlovsky in earlier. I don't get it. That's the way it is. I'm picking the Colts to beat Jacksonville. Mr. Miami, what are you thinking?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what turn it is. But, yeah, I'm actually going to pick Jacksonville in this game. I still think maybe not. I still think they both suck to begin with. Let's not sit there and say Indy's a good team or anything. But, Jacksonville has the leading rusher in football. And,
I think he's going to want to keep it.
Oh, jeez. Nice drafting,
buddy.
I actually got Arian Foster in a trade. The guy must have been drinking heavily. I didn't even ask for him. I asked for a straight up trade. Stafford for Wes Welker. He countered with he wanted Stafford, Larry Fitzgerald, and D'Angelo Williams for Foster, Wes Welker, and Austin Collie. So I clicked accept.
Wes Welker is. So he's going to give you the leading rusher and the leading receiver.
Yeah.
At the time he made the trade.
Foster was,
it was Drew Brees for that.
It was Foster's first week back from the from his injury. It was like week 5. But Welker was already on a major role when he did that. But he wanted Fitzgerald. I said, sure, I'll take Wes Welker with Brady thrown to him, and you can have Fitzgerald and Cobb or Red Skelton.
I have Brady and Welker on one of my play leagues, and that was like 12-0 at one point. So. Two deadly combinations.
So for a Jacksonville. Jacksonville, you're being a homer again, all right? I know you're from Florida and all that, but so Ken, what are you thinking about the game?
I'm going with Jacksonville. I think they're at home. They'll play enough defense to stop the Colts, and then Jones Drew will run about 25 times. They've been getting a little bit more in the passing game, not a lot, but a little bit from Gabbert. Really has nobody to throw to except for Mercedes Lewis, but I think they'll squeak that game out.
At home,
so
yeah.
We'll see.
Colts getting away from home, I just think that they're going to have a little trouble. They've been feeling home comfortable, I think.
Maybe so. All right, that is the final buzzer, meaning that we need to pick up the pace a little bit so that we can get the heck off of this station for now and this evening at Reliant Stadium. Can we rely on the – and Houston's had some terrible times here the last couple of weeks, but I want to know what you think about the Titans and the Titans and also the Texans, the double T, the T2 Bowl at Reliant Stadium. I'm picking, believe it or not, I have to pick the Texans.
Ouch, ouch, ouch. What are you doing? First of all, the Titans can make the playoffs still, and they're fighting. Texans have nothing to play for. The Titans can get in if the Bengals lose to the Ravens and the Jets lose to the Dolphins, which seems actually pretty probable. The Titans are going all the way here. They're going to win this game easily.
Well, Hasselbeck is a quarterback, and I just got to tell you flat out that they should have Jake Locker in. That's what I'm telling you, because Hasselbeck, man, he's as old as I am.
He's still better than TJ Yates.
TJ Youch. Well, we need to pick it up a little bit here. I'm thinking, because we only have 11 minutes, we need to get to our final thoughts. I'm thinking also. So what's machine gun our way through this? So
I'm
going to
go with Tennessee on that game.
Whoa. They don't have Arian Foster. Wow. Okay.
He's not going to play much. You're going to see a lot of Brandon Yates, Tate, I mean.
Okay.
Yeah,
we'll
no way
see.
He plays.
So you guys agree. That's cool.
Yeah.
What about Seattle and Arizona? I'm picking Seahawks.
Seahawks.
I'm going to go with Arizona.
Okay.
That one.
The Cardinals. That's all right. Just remember, this isn't baseball.
They're at home and have the same record and both very similar teams, so I have Arizona.
Broncos in Kansas City, there's no way I'm not picking the Broncos. I'm sorry, but I don't see it.
Yeah, I'm going Denver.
Same here. Denver, too.
It is unanimous. All right, there we go. The Buccaneers at Atlanta. This is pretty easy for me. The Falcons are pissed off, and the Buccaneers, again, they're fake pirates, so I can't pick them.
I'm going to go
Atlanta.
Yeah,
Buccaneers suck. Yeah, Buccaneers are the worst team in football. I pick Atlanta as well.
All right, there you go. We're waiting for one more pick from the trusted first mate.
I'll take an Atlanta.
Falcons.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
So we don't know the order, so we're kind of butting in each other.
Well, that's quite all right because I'll tell you right now that it'll go captains in man and trusty first mate. So with that being in mind, the Ravens and the Bengals, and I am picking Bengals.
I'm picking the Bengals as well. I have the Bengals making the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm going to go Bengals.
Okay, someone's got to be different. No, we don't have to be different. Because if you're all smart, you can't just pick things for the heck of it. But, yeah, Pittsburgh and Cleveland, I'm picking the Steelers.
I'm going to pick the Browns, actually.
Don't go there. Don't go there, man. Don't go there, okay? I'm sorry. You're going to be let down like all Cleveland fans. You're going to cry just like them.
Joshua Cribbs is my favorite player, and I think Browns are going to win at home.
Okay. You heard that, everyone. You heard that.
I'm going Pittsburgh.
There you go. See, the voice of reason.
The reason is
it came from his voice. This is a good game, I think. The Chargers at the Raiders. This Norv Turner, unbelievably, may actually still be the coach next year. If that happens, then that's horrible. But he's playing for his job. If he wins, you know what? I'm picking the Raiders to win just because I want Schottenheimer I put Norv Turner and Schottenheimer in the same vein. I want them both away from football. So I want the Chargers to lose just so they'll both disappear into the sunset. So I'm picking the Raiders to win.
Chargers are going to dominate. They're a much better team. And I know Oakland has to win to get in, but just no way.
Chargers. Okay.
I'm going to go with Oakland.
Again, the voice of reason. That's quite all right, Zen, man. That's quite all right. You have some very good things to say, and it's important, but this last game is going to also be a tribute to Al Davis. So I think that the Raiders...
I'll play along. I got my own show to pick, so you guys enjoy this.
That's right, but I'm going to compare. If I come on Sunday, I'm going to compare what you said here. Let's see what you have then. Just kidding. No problem. The game of the week to me. The game of the week. Personally, let's take them all out and shoot them. That's the Giants and the Cowboys because they both have not lived up to their billing this year. And on this one, the captain says that the Giants are going to lose. Just kidding. Giants are going
to win. You were about to say, you know what? I was like, you're going to pick some crazy-ass pick, aren't you? But no, Giants are better in every aspect and they're at home, so I had the Giants winning.
Yeah, I'm going to say.
What were you going to say? Because I think Coughlin, his job is on the line here, too.
I think Romo's hand is hurt worse than they're letting on to right now. That hand's got to be more than bruised. He whacked that on that helmet pretty damn hard. They showed a sideline shot. That was swollen up like a balloon. They had more wraps on his hand during that game. Three different wraps they put on. Each one kept getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, that's for sure. And that concludes our picks for this week. And here's the thing. Always in the Dreaded Sports Talk, we talk about what's a feel-good story, something that's on our mind that we want to share with the listeners, where it doesn't matter what it is. And because you are a special guest host in place of Evil Rob, who's on his birthday, and hope he gets lucky. He would have to because she came all the way from Key West. But anyway, yeah, I called you out on that one. But anyway, I digress. I'll start off for now because I'll make a secondary thought. My thing is, really, did you see the wide receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals with his unbelievable leap over the defensive player for his of his opponent and the way he stuck that landing and put his hands in the air triumphantly, and you kind of thought, what would a Russian judge give him? Well, a handshake and a clap and a, not flowers, but probably a trophy too. That, to me, was the play of the year, and that is what makes things exciting, because out of nowhere in sports, you see phenomenal things that you wouldn't see every day. And I enjoyed it thoroughly. Although Marvin Lewis got pissed off, right. He said, there's another way to score. There's another way to score. And then he said, that was awesome. Of course it was. I loved it. In fact, I have it on my computer to play over and over again. That was fabulous. And now, since he's trapped in with us, I want to ask him, man, what's on his mind at this particular moment.
Well, just want to let you guys know that it's a super close game, and I for the Heat, they were just up by 2 points. They were up by about 20 earlier with 2 minutes left. We just hit a three, and on that note, I think the Heat are going to go 60-6 this year. And I know it's a lot, but I don't see anybody that's strong enough and fast enough to stop them, and I think they have the most chemistry out of anybody, and I just watching this game right now, it's been hard to pay attention to both sports, but yeah, I think the Heat are going to win the championship easily this year, and I think they're going to have a fantastic year.
I think that's good of you to think that way, you homer. But first, May Ken, unfortunately, you have exactly 1 minute to get your thought out. Unfortunately, I apologize.
This kind of goes back to what I talked about last week. Eric LeGrand from Rutgers, he's actually well enough. He's going to travel as a guest of the Denver Broncos. He's going to be going out to the Denver Broncos at the Chief game on Sunday. He's going to attend the Iowa State-Rutgers game at Yankee Stadium, and he's flying out to Denver for this game. He's made unbelievable progress in the last 3 weeks. He's been sitting up and doing a lot of motion and range of motion things. So I think that's a good a nice little story. He's on the road to recovery. Still has a long way to go, but it's a step in the right direction.
Thanks for that thought. And everyone, it's been a great 2011. We see you guys in 2012. This is the Captain speaking for First Mate Ken and also the Zen Man. And thank you very much for listening to Dreaded Sports Talk. And see ya later.
Bye, guys.
Take care.
Listening to Ship to Shore Radio with Captain Frank and Dredd.